Hey everybody, thanks for downloading Top Shelf Films. Just as a warning that there will be spoilers about the film that we are discussing today. So just remember that and enjoy.
Welcome back to Top Shelf Films. My name's Clay.
My name's Tony.
And this week we saw a movie about some kids, and they had a camera. And I can tell you they used that camera badly.
And about 50% of the script was the word what?
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 What? What?
We saw Project Almanac.
If you didn't guess.
Yeah, which you would know if you just went on the internet and looked. Or if you downloaded this. I mean, you know what it is already every time we do that intro, so...
I know what you're thinking, and yes, it was Chronicle meets Terminator.
Honestly, though, absolutely, that's what they were going for. We'll get into that later, but, So we saw Project Almanac, a movie about time-traveling kids with a camera.
There wasn't an almanac in this movie once.
That's actually probably correct. I didn't see an almanac.
Piss me off.
I only watched about half of it, but I didn't see an almanac at any point. It's a good radio show.
Definitely.
Hey! Let's head over the numbers there, Tony.
So
I saw you were about to take a drink of water, so you better talk for 30 minutes straight. Here we go.
We were so close to seeing Paddington finally.
Oh my God, so close.
It's so close that even on Rotten Tomatoes...
The numbers are the same.
Yeah, both of
them. Estimate by...
But they're like... There's like
single digit millions.
I don't know, there's like a $50,000 difference. But
yeah, which $500,000, that's a razor thin margin for box office
so,
over a weekend.
American Sniper. Number one, 30 million. Project Almanac and Paddington are at both at 8.3, but Project Almanac made like $5 more because some douchebag had to go see it.
500,000.
Whatever.
8.3.
Number four, Black and White, you know, the Michael Jackson music video. And number five was that piece of shit where we talked about The Boy Next Door.
Wait, if it made $500,000 more, why are the numbers the same? Wouldn't that be like 8 and 8.5 if it was $500,000? Maybe
no,
these numbers are not up to date.
No,
I don't know what's happening.
It's like it could be 8,300,000 and 10 and then 300,060. Like that's what.
Yeah, but I thought you said it was 500,000 more.
No, like 50,000.
Oh, that's way closer.
It's really close.
Originally, when we were talking about it, you said 50,
like
but
that.
Then
you know,
the real
just,
numbers, you
let's
said
just
500.
Go, you know what? Let's just fucking settle this. Go
Whoa.
To Box Office Mojo, you goddamn
Whoa.
Son of a bitch.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, guys.
You're loose cannon today. It's because you're mad that we're going to get to see SpongeBob and not 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know what's happening next week.
All
right.
Paddington wasn't even 8.3. It was 8,310,000 for Project Almanac, and Paddington was 8,267,000. So good job,
Rotten
Tomatoes.
8,267,000.
No, they made
8,267,000 is what you said.
They made,
which is like a lot of millions of dollars.
They made 8,267,000.
All right, so Project Almanac beat Paddington by like a tiny little bit. And
yes.
There's a reason that we wanted to see Paddington, and that would be the other set of numbers.
Oh, let's just go ahead and say The Loft, which also opened this
weekend. If you guys remember, The Loft is a movie about a bunch of dudes who they rent an apartment to bring hookers to and have sex with so their wives don't know.
And then they find a dead
And then one.
One
of them kills a hooker. They don't kill a dead hooker. That's
James
crazy.
James Marsden at his most adequate is what
oh,
they're
James
saying.
Marsden.
But that opened at number 10.
Oh,
2 million.
Man.
2 million.
God, that was behind Taken 3
and
Strange
Magic.
Wow, that must be bad. That made less than $3 million.
Well, that's out of 10%.
Wow.
Yeah, by the way, Project Almanac, 38%.
38%.
38%.
And we saw it.
50%.
Paddington, 98%.
Yeah.
Didn't get to see that.
Will you guys let us see Paddington? God damn it.
So close.
Ah.
All right. So, as always, before we head into the plot discussion of this film, I believe we've got a note from the sponsors. Tony!
Yes, this week's sponsor is Trash Cans. If you are at a theater and you are motion sick and your name is Clay, you might need a trash can because you might fill that baby up. Trash can.
Ultra specific. If your name is anything else, you get something else to throw up in. You look somewhere else.
Only guys named Clay that are about to throw
or
up.
Or girls. You didn't say a guy. Clay. Could be a girl named Clay.
Claytina.
Clay, yeah, her full name's Claytina.
Claytina. That's
awful name. Awful name.
So
hey, this movie happened. We watched it. It's 2 hours long. And again, just like As Above, So Below, which we never even got to do a full episode on because I had to leave halfway through, this made me so unbelievably motion sick. And I held on for a long time. And at about an hour in, I turned to Tony and I was like, how much time do you think is left in this movie? And he was like, oh, an hour. And I was like, what? Because this movie does not need to be 2 hours long.
What?
Oh my God. I covered my eyes for, I don't know, 70% of the second half probably and just listened. Or for the last like 30 minutes, I just went on Reddit on my phone and listened to the movie because we were the only ones in the theater. So we got to kind of fuck around.
The thing that's dumb is these guys carry around fairly nice cameras.
Well, and because this is what gets me is we have to assume, given the nature of what this kind of movie is, we're supposed to believe that these found footage movies are legitimately footage someone found on a camera. That's like the whole point.
Yes.
And in this movie,
that has such like super great audio.
Yeah. Like, okay, everybody's got lav mics and they're shooting on a camera that shoots 4K footage because you can put it on a screen.
If anyone just heard that beeping noise, I want to let you know is we just finished downloading American Idol, just in case you were wondering.
Oh my God, nice.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. Here all right. Right. Hey, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to watch American Idol.
Let's do like an episode where we just like watch American Idol.
No, we're not
and
doing
talk
that.
About
yeah, that. We're not doing that. You can start a new podcast called American Idol Lovers Podcast, and it'll be great, and the name won't be, but the podcast will.
Yeah.
I was named stuff on the spot in this podcast. This is the worst thing I've ever named. Worse than Top Quiz.
I swear how, like, the way they...
We've only done that, like, once.
The way they direct these people to hold these cameras is like, all right, hold it, and lose any control of your wrist.
The director of this movie, they had... For this movie, actually, unlike a lot of found footage movies, only one person at any given time had a camera most of the time, because there was one handheld camera, and then they also had a GoPro that they would strap to stuff, and they would cut to that, and it was equally beautiful footage and was clearly not actually shot on the GoPros.
I was going to say, this movie had a couple moments that had some okay ideas.
Yeah, like, it could have been really good. I fully believe this is a great idea for a movie, because Chronicle, we love Chronicle.
But this movie was like a first draft script.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Because I just kept pointing things out that were just nonsense, because like, when you write a script, just if you don't understand how something works, just Google search it for 5 minutes. Because like, if you do something that people in your audience are going to know is incorrect, you have done a terrible job writing it. So when you establish that if you go back in time, you can't meet yourself because it'll cause a paradox and you'll turn into weird digital footage and then rip apart.
But you go to the same moment where you exactly were at the exact same time.
So the best example I can come up with this is, I've already explained this once, so I think I can do this and have it make sense. But at one point, the whole group goes back to a time at their school where one of the group members, his self from the past, was embarrassed in class that day. So they send him somewhere else so that the time traveling him can go to that class and not be made a fool by this teacher. Because they don't, if they meet, then there's a paradox and they'll die or whatever. But then he fucks up again in the class and they're like, well, we have to do it again. And they go back to like 3 minutes before that to where they were, but like, once they've traveled back in time to a point, if they do it again, they're just like overwriting themselves from that other time. So like, they establish that you will meet yourself and you have to avoid it, and then immediately they're like, fuck that, if you want to go back more than once, whatever, I guess it just forgets you were there.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, and they do that a lot of times.
The best time traveling movies at least take a second to think about time.
Yeah. Or like Looper, just don't explain it, but at least be consistent.
Looper is probably my favorite time traveling movie. Because it is not a movie where its agenda is to explain time travel. Its agenda is just to use time travel for its specific story.
My favorite movie about time, Terminator. Not about time travel. No, I'm avoiding all the Terminators, even though I love all of them so much. My favorite movie that has to do with manipulating time, Clock Stoppers.
Damn.
Fuck yeah, I love that movie. It's so stupid.
Guys, you heard it here. One person in the world remembers Clock Stoppers.
It has the guy from...
By the way, just so you guys know...
What's his name, like Fry
so
something?
So many times since... Like, you have brought up both Clock Stoppers and Agent Cody Banks. Like, a really weird amount.
Yeah. No, yeah, they're great movies. I just rewatched
and you've
Agent
never
Cody
seen
Banks
the Godfather.
To Destination... London.
Like, you've never seen The Godfather, and you told me you want to rewatch Clock Stopper.
Well, I've seen Agent Cody Banks two more times this year than I've seen The Godfather.
How do you feel about that?
Than I've seen The Godfather ever. I've seen Agent Cody Banks two more times than that.
God.
More times than two. Just two this year. I mean, so far. It's only February.
Guys.
Clockstopper. I hope they add Clockstoppers to Netflix so bad. What is that guy's
also
name?
Also, something you're never going to hear someone say. I hope they add Clockstoppers to Netflix so bad.
What is that guy's name from Third Rock from the Sun with the squinty eyes? He's in that movie, but I can't remember his name. I kept saying
Sean
Fry,
Hayes.
But I don't think that's right. No. Sean Hayes is from Will and Grace. What?
I couldn't think of it.
His name, it's like Fry or like a food or something. I can't remember his name.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
Something
you
fries.
Continue bitching about this movie while I look.
Well, okay, so I got really sick. Oh, wait, here.
French
Stewart. It's like French fries, that's why. French Stewart is in Clock Stoppers, and he's great. He gets so old in the weird time pod.
French.
I love that movie so much.
French, I hope you're listening to this because you have a fan.
Our biggest listener, French Stewart, the man himself. So
no, that would be an accomplishment. I'm not going to lie.
So this movie, it doesn't handle time travel correctly, even a little bit. They do this weird thing where the girl who holds the camera has, like, pretty much no lines. But when they do give her lines, they make sure that she has either put the camera down or someone else for a second is holding it so they can zoom in on her boobs, the whole time she's talking. This girl literally exists to carry the camera around, of which she does a terrible job at, and then be on camera just with, like, tons of cleavage. And she's supposed to be, what, like, maybe 17?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be even less than that.
That's the weird thing is,
because she's the younger sister of the main character.
Are they, though? They all seem like they're in the same grade.
So.
Like,
it kind of seems like they want to have sex with each other, too. I don't get it.
They literally, to me, the four main people just seem like an adoptive family of the same age people. Like,
yeah, we didn't meet anybody else's parents. The only kid we know is, actually, we don't even know that the kid who draws on his own neck, we don't even know that he's from a different house. Because they travel back in time and then go to a house that just looks like the house they're in all the time.
We have no idea.
It's just so... it's just all over the place. And, like...
There's a couple of funny moments from one guy.
Yeah, one of the guys actually does have really good comedic timing. And I was happy with his general performance. The acting overall is pretty bad, though. I mean...
I wouldn't say pretty bad.
Horrible from the camera girl. And everybody else is just adequate.
Yeah,
and then the one guy's kind of funny.
I thought they were okay. I think they were passable.
They tried hard with the script, I think, probably, most of them. The mom of the main character is the eldest daughter from Transparent. And she's in this movie for maybe 5 minutes. Which is crazy. She's so underutilized because she's a great actress.
Yeah, but she wasn't... Her character isn't really needed.
Well, she could have explained the dad thing a little more because I still don't... We have no idea why he was gone.
Guys, Clay...
The dad, like, disappears.
Clay almost got super excited because he thought he was going
to... I thought the kid was going to turn out to be his own dad, and that would have been awesome.
But it wouldn't make sense at all.
Well, neither did the rest of the movie, so it doesn't matter.
That's...
Oh, and you were complaining about how when they meet themselves and there's a paradox, or whenever anything gets weird in the movie, like with time, we could chalk this up to the fact that we are seeing everything through a camera, and we're sure of that. So it's not like if we were seeing a non-found footage movie and this was happening, but it was very weird.
Basically, guys, when they would meet each other, and this weird paradox would happen.
Or just if they, time was doing something weird.
They would just, like, glitch and flicker as if they're, like...
Like broken footage,
yeah, sort of. To me, it was like... It's... They were reacting as if they were villains from The Ring. Like, yeah. The Ring, that makes sense. You're a ghost who is in a videotape. So you glitch and you look like a videotape. For them, it was just weird and like we said, there's a scene where he meets himself and that happens and it just goes back and forth of them going, what, which I think was supposed to be like
a weird loop, I think, or something, but it does, it just seems so weird. It's so out of place.
And it looks dumb.
And then, there was one more thing that we really didn't like, which was one of the first times that they get the time machine invention working, which, by the way, is made possible by the fact that the main character is a kid who's apparently smart enough to get into MIT, but then after we learn that he's smart enough to get into MIT and they build this time machine, literally nothing else he does in the entire movie holds any amount of common sense or knowledge, so I don't buy that. But when they get it working for one of the first times, there's this weird thing that happens where there's, like, speed ramping, so, like, stuff is kind of flying around the room, and then the whole, like, time that they're experiencing will just go slow motion. Like in little,
I think
in
that was
bursts.
Just more like a movie, like a movie style that they were trying
it
to.
It was,
like,
but it doesn't make sense for this kind of movie.
And it looked dumb
because they edited the sound so that it sounded like we were hearing it in slow motion. But reasonably, I mean, they would have been experiencing it in regular speed relative to what was going on. So it maybe logistically made sense, but it just looked and felt wrong. And it was really off-putting.
This movie did not need to be found footage.
Oh, no. And we talked about this, too.
It could have been... Or it could even be done, like, End of Watch, where part of it's found footage, but part of it is, like, movie. Like, not all of End of Watch.
After I watched End of Watch, I didn't go home and sit in front of a toilet and almost throw up for 2 hours.
Instead, you just felt really sad about it.
Yeah, it was a sad movie.
Also,
but,
we watched that at home, so,
you
wouldn't have to
wait,
go
let me
home.
Put that in perspective. So, I went and watched this movie for 2 hours, and then came home and almost threw up for 2 hours. So, it's kind of a waste of a day. I also only worked 2 hours that day, so it's a weird day of two-hour segments.
It's not a waste of your day, it's only 4 hours of your day. Clay, days are 24 hours long.
Not the way I do them, man.
It's true.
I split each of my days into 12-hour days. It's all very weird. You might notice sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night, I'm just awake doing whatever.
You would, but I do the same, so it's
but okay. I turn on a small sun in the living room, and I just act like it's daytime for 6 hours at night. It's pretty weird. But, so like, this, oh my god, this movie, it could have been better. And we talked about the found footage thing. The obvious reason that it was found footage is... When you make a found footage movie, you don't have to pay nearly as many people because you get one of your actors to hold your camera. You don't need more than one or two cameras, and they don't have to be that great, you know? You don't really need much for editing because most of it is just going to be straight out of the camera.
You still need editing.
No, I mean, you'll need editing.
No,
because
there's still takes and stuff like that. Yeah, I'll argue against that you don't need editing.
I'm just saying the editing probably takes less time because it's far more linear maybe than a standard script with multiple camera angles and
you don't
complex
know that.
Moves.
Because you don't know that they shoot this.
I assume that. I don't know if it's true, but
I don't think they do.
I would say it could be effective.
I think basically what they take
it's a lot less staff. It definitely is. And it's too bad because, really, people, they think if you're doing found footage, this girl who was behind the camera, she didn't do a very good job. She wasn't a very good actress either, so I assume this was actually her fault that the camera was so shaky maybe. But I assume that she was kind of thinking while she recorded, at some point she might have brought up to the director like, hey, do you want me to like try and hold this steadier or anything? And he was like, no, here, I'll help you out on this one. And she was doing her whole camera move and doing all of her stuff and everything. And he probably just stood behind her and just like punched her in the back of the arm over and over again.
He stabbed her in the arm so that she just kind of got like the
shock.
She's
getting really weak.
Yeah.
So she had to like, but it's so unnecessarily shaky. Like the reason I talked about this, the reason that I don't get sick when I watch other movies like this, or even just regular movies with you brought up Transformers. You were like, well, why don't you get sick during like fights in Transformers?
Yeah.
But for me, it's because when you're filming Transformers, Michael Bay, all of his staff and everything, they're going to be using stabilizers. And even though they're whipping around real fast and stuff, those are going to help reduce the micro motions that you feel when you turn a camera. So if you turn a camera from right to left with one of those on, it'll just be a more linear line from right to left. But if you don't have a stabilizer like rig going on like that, like in a movie like this, you go right to left. But as you do that, there's lots of up and down and unevenness in your hands controlling the speed and everything. So there's just so much more motion. And honestly, people would never be like, oh, I saw this found footage movie, but it wasn't shaky enough. That's never going to be a problem. If you use a stabilizer, people are going to be fine with that. Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It just feels like such a waste, because every time we have to go see a found footage movie, it's unnervingly shaky, and it makes me so sick. And this time I knew it was going to do it, and I was going to take Dramamine so that I wouldn't get sick beforehand, and I forgot. And that's on me, but it's on the director and everyone who made this movie to not make such a fucking terrible, shaky movie. I shouldn't have to take a drug before I go see your movie, so don't throw up. That's not okay. I'm mad about this.
I was going to say how much of a rant you were going to go.
So stupid. And then, like, one of the worst parts is this movie's 2 hours long, and there's no action to the last 20 minutes. No, like, conflict, really.
Yeah.
And then when it does happen, it's just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. They go back in time and they're like, oh, we made it so that we lost the playoff game because we made it so the basketball game didn't happen. And then, like, a fucking plane crashes because of that.
Also, one other thing. So, with this movie, the way they discover this time machine is the main kid looks at a piece of old footage at his birthday party and sees grown-up him.
Yeah, himself from, and, like, the age he is now.
And the thing he, like, distincts it is, this is my shirt. Like, I'm wearing the exact same shirt. That's me. But then my thought is, never wear that fucking shirt again.
Wait.
Fuck you, Tom.
But then also, the shirt is the least descript shirt you could ever have.
It is.
It is a plain gray t-shirt with a black neck, like, a black collar.
Clay, don't even act like those are popular.
Oh, my God. It's like, just put any logo on it at all. Make something up. Just put a swirl on it. It doesn't matter. Just make it not a plain gray shirt. But then he's got this little, like, ink stain on it. And he's like, what's that stain? And then later in the movie, the stain happens. And then you would not, if you were a normal person,
continue
to wear the giant ink stain, like, on your shirt.
Especially.
And later he puts the shirt back on, and that's when he goes back in time, is at the end. Why was he wearing the fucking ink shirt?
There was no fucking reason for it.
He's only got two shirts because he's too poor to go to MIT. What? Oh, this movie. It just, all of it was just utter nonsense. Like, it could have been so cool. And if not a good movie, it could at least have been consistently a cool idea. But they kept fucking it up. Like,
yeah.
They would just do things that detracted so hard from it. Like the 20-minute long montage of them just, like, being half naked and listening to Imagine Dragons. Why did we need all that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. They go, oh, we went back in time and we
bought
tickets for super cheap.
I get maybe non-film people would think about this, but guys, have you actually brought a camera and film a concert? It's loud as shit, and
right?
You're not going to hear clear as day Radioactive. You're going to hear...
Plus, it's really crazy that they were there all night, but every time they cut, it was just the next moment in Radioactive. I didn't know that song was 40 hours long.
If you're going to do found footage, own up to it and be a found
just
footage.
Just think about it. For like 2 fucking seconds, every single part of this movie, everything... I feel like they were just like, oh, yeah, it's found footage. We can do that. And, like, first of all, you can't. But second of all, there's this thing in found footage movies, and it happens every time now, where you think, like, it seems weird that this person just has this camera and is just recording, like, in class. Yeah. And, like, all the time.
And no one questions
it. And there's always just one character who looks directly into the camera before they're friends with the person with the camera. And they go, do you just record all the time or something?
Yeah.
And then you're like, the director's like, we did it. Free pass. We can record whatever we want now. We acknowledged it once.
And
that's not okay.
And,
it's so stupid.
Oh, what was that?
And the girl, she zoomed in on her brother, like, about to make out with that girl. She was like, I wonder what's going on over here. And, like, the brother was about to get lucky with this girl or whatever. And she's just, like, full zoom right in on both of them. It's weird.
Also, I like the end of this movie, like, or towards the end, the camera's, you want to know how you know it's wrapping up. Let's just flash a tape to show, oh, low tape. But guess what? They're recording on a digital thing.
Right.
One other reason why they didn't pay attention to anything.
Yeah, I don't know any camera that you can use digital videotapes that would shoot high enough quality footage to be a movie.
Cameras don't even, like, give you a warning. It just says out of memory or whatever.
Well, I mean, you have things that monitor that as you go.
And also, for fucking film people, not just, like, the low on tape thing, but also a low on battery, they don't constantly beep. They don't just beep, beep, beep.
By the way, we're going to ruin your footage by beeping loudly when you're getting the end of it.
It's like how you get pissed off that iPhones have, like, little beep noises in movies
We
know.
This is my biggest complaint about stuff like this, especially, I'll just use the phones as an example, but it holds true to these cameras. We all, as a society, understand how smartphones work. So when you have a character who is holding what is clearly the current generation iPhone, and they're going to answer a call, and they're standing out in the cold wearing mittens, and they just hit the screen, and there's a loud beep so that you know they picked up, we all know that's not how that works. So don't do it.
Yeah.
It's just so, oh God. And they did that all the time in this movie. There's so much stuff that we could figure out how it worked or already know how it worked. And this movie was like, oh, whatever. We wrote it, so it's fiction.
All in all, guys, this movie has some things to offer, but very little.
Oh, yeah. I would say you could see it if...
if it's on Netflix and you're doing your taxes.
No, I would say...
Put it on the background.
You can see it if you hate yourself and you want to be nauseated, or if it's playing at a drive-in, like a mile away, and you've got a telescope that you won't get motion sick from being so close to the screen, you go for that. That's fine. That'd be great.
If you want to watch this movie, like, still, hold a computer and start rolling down a hill, and you might, and you'll see this movie
just without match the motion with the rolling.
It will match up perfectly.
Oh my
God. Guys, rail.
Yeah, oh yeah, rail. There's, rail. You know what? You know what I needed in this movie was a little more of that thing they did where where someone is holding a handheld camera looking at something on a screen that we're supposed to be focusing on. I want this moving thing that's making me sick to have me look at this other moving thing inside of it that's going to make me more sick. Yeah. Fuck this movie. It's rail, you guys. Don't see Project Almanac. Why did anybody see it? It could have been cool. Could have been like Chronicle.
This is a movie aimed towards high schoolers. Like, hey, kids, check it out. Cool time travel. Ooh,
wouldn't it be fun if you and your friends got a time machine?
Yeah. It's not just time travel.
Put a toy car in your concrete wall. It's crazy. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It should have been fun. That's obviously what it was trying to do the whole time, but it wasn't. Yeah. It just wasn't fun. And that's, we didn't have fun because of it.
No bueno.
So, let's do some airline battles, I guess.
Yeah.
What have I watched this week?
Yeah.
I was trying to get you to start, but it's because I just never remember until you've...
Until I remind you of what you've seen?
Yeah, you go first. I can't think of it. I'm sorry. You just start talking and immediately.
You gotta be like me. Rate your things on Rotten Tomatoes, because I can just check. Keep it open. I can see what I've rated lately.
Just click it, because then I'll know what I watched, too.
No, you didn't watch any of the things that...
I didn't watch many movies.
I saw Beyond the Lights,
All right.
Which, if you guys remember, came out a few months ago about... It's about this pop singer who was kind of just always pushed into being a star because she has a good voice and her mom just kind of pushes her nonstop. So it opens pretty much with this very established pop singer trying to kill herself. And she gets saved by this like security guard guy, and it kind of starts, you know, a relationship between them, which I didn't think I was going to enjoy as much as I did, but this movie kind of just took a conventional love story and just added enough, like, I guess added enough hard work to it. Like, the script was good, the acting was good, it was shot fairly well. Like, it was just a mediocre script pulled off well. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I think I like it more because the lead actress's name is Gugu Mbatha-Raw or something like that. I love it. Gugu Mbatha-Raw. So that's why I wanted to watch
there
that.
You go.
Minnie Driver's her mom.
You always kind of got to wind up to it.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
You got to, like, cut, and you can say the name, like, twice, and then we'll record. You always get on the third name when people have crazy names.
Yeah. But it's... And the... Especially kind of towards the end, she has just, like, an absolute beautiful voice, and there's just some great, like, songs in this. Beyond the Lights. I mean, I think it's a... Especially for any couples out there that want to watch a movie together, I think this is a very good one. So, I watched it alone, of course, but, I mean, it's okay. No one's out there for me.
All right, so, I still couldn't think of anything that I saw, so I'm just going to talk about something that I'm making you watch this month. Everybody, here's something good that no one would ever find organically, because I think I might be the only person in the world that watches Hulu original series that aren't British TV, but, there's this show that Hulu did one season of. It's just a one-season run. It wasn't like it ended on a cliffhanger or anything. It was just one, like, mini-series, essentially, I guess. And, oh, excuse me, jeez.
Oh, jeez.
It's called Battleground, and it's about a state Senate election in Madison, Wisconsin. And it's sort of a workplace... documentary style, so it's like The Office.
Wait,
or
you like documentary style comedy?
Okay, it's like, yeah, but it's like The Office or Parks and Rec. Or to an extent like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine kind of thing, almost, I guess. It's shot a little like that, but yeah, it's about this team of like political advisors and what they go through to try and get this candidate up in the polls before this election ends. And interspersed throughout is footage of them during the election and stuff, as well as all the talking heads where they're referring to the camera and stuff and talking about it are a retrospective far after the election took place. So the characters are in like a way different place kind of than they are when you're seeing them. And it's very interesting to see them once they've completed this kind of trial and tribulation of being part of this team, because they're all kind of grown adults by the end, and you're seeing that from the very first episode, which is it's really interesting. It's got my favorite intro of all time in a show. It's just beautifully shot. Great show. It's called Battleground. It's a Hulu original. The only way to watch it is on Hulu Plus and maybe regular Hulu, but it's super good, and I would really like for people to watch it because it's one of my favorites. So, what are we going to be seeing next week there, Tony?
We have three movies opening wide release.
This is a little contested here.
So, we have Jupiter Ascending,
which is the new Wachowskis film.
Mm-hmm. Seventh Son, which is Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges fighting ogres or some dumb thing.
Yeah. And then the next SpongeBob movie. SpongeBob.
The SpongeBob movie.
Sponge
Out of Water. Sorry, I thought we would meet up in the middle and say it all at once. But
originally, we were saying Jupiter Ascending, but I think SpongeBob's going to make more money.
I actually am still pulling for Jupiter Ascending. It doesn't have a good percentage right now. It's only at a 23%, but a lot of the reviews I've seen say it's not very good, but people still really like it. And
yeah,
I think
but
it'll be interesting.
I just think
enough.
SpongeBob's going to take it because it has a way wider
SpongeBob does
demo.
Have a huge fan base.
Yeah, yeah, like from everywhere, from people our age to, you know,
oh, yeah.
Act still
and there,
kids.
There are tons of people our
and,
age, like 25-year-old men and women that
yeah.
love SpongeBob.
And I even know, you know, parents can tolerate SpongeBob.
Yeah.
So
most definitely.
I think SpongeBob has
I wouldn't, honestly, I would really like to see both of them. I don't have a problem with any of it. Either of them's good. I hope it's not Seventh Son. I don't see any universe where that happens, but I hope it's not.
It's
it's not going to be any good.
Knowing the people out there, it's probably going to be Seventh Son.
All right. So, as always...
What if The Loft just makes a comeback?
I don't think it will, man. I really don't.
$100 million.
Everybody sees it. Like, I heard some buzz about this. James Marsden at his most adequate. I'd love to see that. Jeez.
You've never seen James Marsden this okay since X-Men.
So, as always, you can find us on Twitter. I am at TruthAboutClay.
I am at TownFurK.
T-U-R... You get me every time by saying Furk. T-O-N-E-F-U-R-K-E-Y. And again,
way,
as always...
Guys, if you have not noticed, I don't think we've ever addressed this. I don't know why Clay does that.
Oh, because it's... You wouldn't know how to, like... You could take guesses, but it's... That's when... You can spell truth tone, about Clay because you know those words.
Tone Furky.
Yeah. It's worth spelling. I don't know, it's not a real word.
It's just like, I think people, it's an unspoken thing that you do that.
That's fine. And now guys, it's spoken. So great job, man.
Finally, we addressed.
Don't follow him on Twitter. No, he tweets a lot more than me. You could do that. But,
I do.
If
you guys didn't catch our previous episode, I live tweeted every commercial from Super Bowl. So go look at those okay tweets.
Yeah, this and that episode will be released today, too. Oh, so, yeah. Hey, if you listen to either one, listen to the other one as well. Because I'm guessing you're not going to be seeing either of these films, everybody.
Yeah.
And as always, again, you can, or you should, I suppose, download every episode, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a comment, a rating on iTunes. It does good things for our ranking. And we can only keep about 6 episodes on at a time on our hosting. So download them if you want to listen to them. Or if you don't, we could use the downloads. Start listening to them if you're not going to see the movie. I mean, they're fun. If you're not going to see the movie, I think we keep it entertaining enough.
We suck.
All right. Good. Good. I'm really getting into the swing of this thing at the end where I tell people to download it and you're just stomping all over it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just download them.
It just shows how crazy personalities we are. You know, we like... Well, there are a couple. Look out!
Spread the word about Top Shelf Film.
All right, everyone. Have a good day.
Talk to you next week.